The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
And new undisputed UFC middleweight champion of the world, Michael the Count Bisping.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, and we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, I apologize. Anthony Smith is not going to be with us, but he is going to FaceTime in. He's trapped. He's in a tundra. He's in a snowstorm. He's somewhere in America, lost in transit, lost in translation, living out of an airport, a tanker, a bunker. I don't know what is going on. He better have a good excuse because he's not on the show. But have no fear. Alexander the Great Volkanovski, the world's pound for pound number one mixed martial artist, will be joining us very, very shortly. We have, and I'm literally counting down the minutes, 10 minutes until he comes. If you want to come back in 10 minutes, I don't blame you, right? Because in the meantime, I've got to speak to this guy. Harrington, love you, brother. But one would be remiss if I didn't say, what the hell are you wearing and why?
My traditional Irish elf Christmas costume.
Okay, why? That was the first part.
Well, we just did a we did a Secret Santa here, so I always get anytime there's a holiday party, this is my go-to. This tells you I'm a fun guy who's here to have a real good time. And we did a bit of a gift swap, right? The little white elephant gift giving celebration, and I picked the one that had a flag wrapped around it. I think it looks cool.
Well, I was going to say, what is the flag? Is there any significance to the country? What is that?
So the gift I got was all Arizona themed. So it was a fake cactus. It was like a stuffed animal of like a pig that is like a native to Arizona, and then a bunch of Arizona iced tea cans and this.
Oh, well, that's nice. Well, you guys are clearly getting in the Christmas spirit, rocking the shamrock as well, your Irish heritage, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a mad paddy elf.
And you are. And you know what else is native to Arizona?
Sugar Sean O'Malley.
Sugar Sean O'Malley. And we have got some corrections to do because Sugar Sean O'Malley was very gracious. We know he's a friend of the show. I have tremendous respect. I like to think that we're pretty good friends. He came on the show and he's been misquoted. Harrington just informed me right before we went live. So I'll hand it over to you. So what is the situation, Harrington? You told me a little bit, but I'm still not fully aware of what happened.
So Sean came on the show. He talked about the injection that he got, the stem cell injection into his penis.
He got a stem cell injection into his penis.
In Tijuana, right?
In Tijuana. If you're going to get it done somewhere, Tijuana sounds like the place. Increases the length, increases the girth. Good for him. We are not, and he was not implying in any way that he needed help in that area. But why not? Why not? If you can get a little extra juice, go for it. So what happened?
So here's the thing that was kind of cool about Middle Easy. They included that part, that he was just getting it as a laugh. But what they also said in there, in the conversations, Sean said that the doctor who administered the shot happened to be an attractive female. So he really scored there, right? Meaning that I'd rather have that than somebody who looks like me putting a needle into my dick, right?
Well, to be fair, you're never putting anything into my dick. Okay. I don't care what it is. Stem cells, umbrellas. I don't care what it is. You're not coming. You're not even going to get to ever see my dick.
It's called docking.
Go on.
It's a lot. So essentially Middle Easy, right? They ran with that terminology saying that I scored getting a good-looking woman to be performing this operation, instead to mean that he had slept with that woman. They ran the title as Sean O'Malley says he had sex with a doctor after she injected his penis.
What was the actual headline? And can we bring it up, please, Brian? Yeah. Because that is ridiculous. That's not funny. It's not funny whatsoever. So what did the actual headline say?
So let me bring up the exact quote here. Sean O'Malley reveals he had sex with hot doctor during his penis stem cell session in Tijuana.
And it doesn't go on to say that we're taking it tongue in cheek or anything like that. I mean, that's a pretty damning headline. It certainly doesn't sound like a joke. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Sean O'Malley reveals he had sex with a hot doctor during his penis stem cell. He said nothing of the sort. And anyone that listens to the show, all you believers, we love you all. Thank you very much. The show would be nothing without you. Each one of you know, we don't even need to say this, that he never said that. Middle easy. Get your shit together. Come on. Come on. Do better.
Yeah, and it stinks. Like that's a place that is typically, it has like funny, engaging headlines. I know as a newer watcher of the sport, they have pretty good content. So to see them now running with this, just trying to get the headlines off of, I mean, dude, that is a stretch to grab that quote and go to that headline with it. Honestly, you know, get some integrity in your journalism, Middle Easy, because that's crazy.
Shame. Absolutely. I tell you what, you wouldn't, I mean, that's a stretch. That's a stretch. I mean, granted, that's what Sean O'Malley was trying to do. He was trying to stretch it out a little bit. There's no need for that. The headline could have simply been Sean O'Malley gets stem cell injections into his penis. Okay, that would have been enough. And Sean, I'm sorry, buddy. Out of the entire interview, I'm sure this isn't the part that he wants us to be harping on about, but we're defending him. That is, oh dear, it's ridiculous. It just goes to show, doesn't it? You can't believe everything you read online. Like, we don't already know that. But even that, for Middle Easy, for MMA journalism, for some ridiculous tabloid, that is not stretching it. That's just totally incorrect. That is a lie. That's potential lawsuit material. If I'm Sean O'Malley, let's be honest. I'm not saying should. I'm just saying that is so clearly incorrect and doesn't resemble the truth in any way. I mean, that's just it's just wrong.
Yeah. I mean, I at this point now, like, I do, let me just see, because they have the actual quote here. I was sitting there like, we'll hook you up. I'm like, fuck it. Hot doctor. You know, I even had her. So I scored. It was fun. It wasn't too painful. I don't know how much performance came out of it, but I've been on a rampage, maybe. So it has helped.
I mean, to be fair, when you hear it laid out in black and white like that, you could take double context or double meanings out of something. Just read it out one more time, and I'll break it down as you go. Because I know, because with the correct context, having the conversation myself, I know that is not what he was saying. But just say it again.
I was sitting there like, we'll hook you up. I'm okay. Like, fuck it. Hot okay. Doctor.
Stop. So we'll hook it up maybe. I'm like, fuck it, meaning let's go, let's do it, carry on.
You know, I even had her, so I scored.
So I even had her, meaning he had her as the doctor, but again, double entendre, potential, you know, sexual innuendo, which is not, but go on, carry on.
So I scored. It was fun. It wasn't too painful.
It was fun. It wasn't too painful. I mean, like, listen, sex is always a good time. It wasn't too painful. She's been around the block a bit. I went in and out. I didn't even touch the sides. Oh dear.
I don't know how much performance came out of it.
Oh dear. See, you see, like, if that was just written down in black and white, you know, you could maybe see, all right, listen, Middle Easy, do better, for crying out loud. Sean O'Malley was not saying that, but still, oh well. How you doing, Harrington, other than attending Christmas parties and winding down for the year?
Dude, I'm doing great, man. I'm super in the holiday mood. This is the first time I've had a tree in my house in probably 4 years. You know what I mean?
Time 5 years. Had a house in 4 years.
Yeah, proper, like a place I'd actually let my parents, like, you know, come over and stay a night at. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Good for you, man. Yeah, same here. Callum just arrived yesterday, late last mm-hmm. night. So it's nice. All the family's together. You know what I mean? We're going to go out for dinner later and stuff. So it's lovely. Yeah, winding down for the year. We have, counting down, 3 minutes until Alexander the Great Volkanovski joins us. Of course, huge fight in Perth, taking on Islam Makhachev, trying to become a double champ. So Harrington, go to Twitter and find out what good questions are on there. I put a tweet out. There was a lot of engagement. I've already looked, so I'm going to steal a few of them. So any that I don't ask, be sure to do so. But Volkanovski has a cooking channel, correct?
Yes, sir. So there is quite a few questions about that.
Yeah, yeah. And what are some of the things that he cooks on there? Because I've seen him do like flaming hot Cheeto wings, you know, chicken wings dripped in like Cheetos and stuff like that. Is there like proper stuff on there as well?
So it seems like he's done, quite a few cooking episodes. I mean, I'm seeing Wagyu beef. He's doing the Salt Bay pose in here. So I'm wondering if he's got any, if he's been getting tips from Salt Bay himself.
Well, I very much doubt it. And I don't think I'd want them. And I wouldn't want Salt Bay doing that over my food. And the big granules of salt, because they are big. They're like that pink Himalayan salt or whatever, going into his sweaty, greasy hairs and then going onto my food. I don't want them cascading of your greasy forearm before it lands on my massively overpriced Wagyu beef. What were you looking puzzled, Harrington?
No, I mean, that's like 9 or 10 different spices you can catch in one guy's forearm. Like, I don't know why you're giving up on that kind of flavor.
It's also 9 or 10 different diseases you can catch as well. My God. So we're going to talk about that later because the World Cup stuff, the Salt Bay guy was there and he's been banned, I believe, by FIFA for accosting Lionel Messi. There was crazy scenes in Argentina, but this is a mixed martial arts show. And don't worry, we have lots of big, big stories. But we're not getting into them right now because we have less than 60 seconds. I mean, if we started a timer, guarantee he's not going to be on time. It'd be a long 60 seconds.
Do you think he's going to have the pink headphones on this time?
Oh, he did last time, didn't he? How many times has he been on the show now? Is it twice?
Volkanovski, it's been at least twice because I know there was one time he came on with them, one time without them. I think it might have been 3 times, actually, but let me check on that.
Friend of the show. What's the biggest news in MMA right now, Harrington? The biggest storyline while we just wait for Alexander? Do you reckon many people call him Alexander? That sounded a bit formal, didn't it?
In his professional life, I bet it's a lot like me where he gets the last name treatment. I bet a lot of guys just call him Volk.
Yeah, I'd say so. Hold on, I'm just going to Google. MMA news.
Came up rugby.
Go on.
Yeah, I feel like if guys come up playing team sports, like they are way more likely to go by a nickname into adulthood.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the biggest news in MMA. Of course, we have notes. We're going to get into a load of stuff, but I just wanted to see what Google would throw at me. Top story here from Bloody Elbow. Bryce Mitchell wanted to stop with mixed martial arts. We're going to talk about that later. He was hinting at retirement. I don't think he's retiring, but you know, just went through some, you know, anguish, shall we say, after a loss, your first time experiencing it. Dylan Danis told that he fell apart when he started training with Conor McGregor. All right, we're going to stay away from that one. Brendan Schaub shares his thoughts on the recent altercation between Jake Shields and Mike Jackson. This is assault, brother. Is that what Brendan Schaub's saying? Saying that Jake Shields assaulted him? What's his face? Mike Jackson.
I believe that is Brendan's take on the matter.
So he's not sticking up for one of his mixed martial arts brethren, a legend of the sport, a man that's paved the way for many generations of athletes for sticking up for himself when a guy called him a racist and a Nazi completely over and over again and actually doubles down on it and says that it's assault. Come on, Brendan. Here's Sharp's quote. This is assault, brother. They're the PI, they're probably going to press charges, which is a bummer because you don't want fights happening at, you know, your headquarters and stuff like that. But you think any business in the world would UFC would go, I get it. and also two professional fighters, one talking shit, they run into each other. That is what happens. I very much doubt the UFC are going to involve the police whatsoever. Obviously, I can't speak for them, but one would assume that they are more than familiar with dealing with a situation of two fighters getting into a little skirmish. You know what I mean? By trade, it's what they do. And at press conferences, at weigh-ins, all the time they are dealing with this shit. Granted, generally, I think the unwritten rule is that people do not do that at the PI. Nah, but listen, Jake's human. He let his emotions get the better of him, you know? What can you do?
That's what you can do.
That's what we can do. I'll tell you what you can do, Harrington. You can fuck right off now. No offense. What's going on, Bulk? How are you, buddy?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, mate. We were just discussing right before you came on, because I said, oh, Alexander will be joining us shortly. And I was like, that sounds very formal. Does anybody ever call you Alexander?
Nah, no one does. It's either Alex or Volkanovski. So the fans and that would just know me as Volkanovski.
Yeah.
Or everyone just calls me Alex.
All right, then. Well, Alex, thank you very much, mate. I know it's crack of dawn, 8 a.m. where you are. Not only is the world gearing up for Christmas, but you're getting ready for potentially, well, maybe the biggest fight of your life, you know, and you're squeezing this in. So we appreciate you, brother. And I know you are a patient man. Because for those people that don't, well, everyone doesn't know. I changed the time on you like five times. Things kept happening at our end. Anthony Smith is stuck in a snowstorm. Brian's going to a goddamn funeral to our wedding tomorrow. So thank you. We appreciate it. Let's get right into it. How is training camp going for Islam Makhachev?
Yeah, it's going good. It's going good. This is a bigger camp than usual. Usually I do about the 8-week camp. Look, I train all year round anyway. I'm usually reasonably fit, but we had a good structure from about, you know, 10 to 12 weeks out. So we made sure we'll bring in guys in to train with and really just start nailing down on certain techniques and things that we might need to do and things like that. So usually I don't really have that type of structure till about 8 weeks out. So obviously I'm taking this one serious. I take every fight serious. Yeah. I always go above and beyond. But this one, we really are going above and beyond. You know what I mean? So I can't wait to go out there and show the new me, because that's what I love about this, right? A lot of people look at the challenges and all this stuff. Yeah, sweet. It just makes you a better fighter, better human being. So I'm going to be, times two the fighter that I was. So I cannot wait to go show my skills.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it either, mate. Really can't. I'll be down there commentating the fight. So looking forward to being there in person. Obviously, you've done some incredible things. You're the featherweight champion of the world. You're the pound-for-pound number one fighter in the entire sport, mate. I mean, come on, talk about smashing it out of the goddamn park. And now you have an opportunity to be a two-weight division champion as well. Out of all those accolades, the champion, the pound-for-pound number one, a two-weight division champion, where does that rank in terms of those three things that you have achieved, which are incredible achievements?
Yeah, man, it's a tricky one. You know, obviously pound-for-pound and all that, it's really good. Champ, but I was really chasing because I wanted to, you know, you knock off your goals and yeah, what's next? You know, what's next? And champ's next. But as soon as it was Islam and people telling me that, again, I love people doubting me and all that. And then seeing people like, oh, yeah, he's going to be too big, too strong and all this. The challenge that, you know, and not just that, the opponent that I've got and all that type of stuff, that excites me more. I think going for this champ and taking out someone like Islam is really what people are going to sort of remember. Again, a lot of people think that he's unstoppable right now. But I'm going to show you that he is stoppable. And I can't wait to go out there and do my thing.
Of course, when it comes to the unstoppable side of things, you know, the Dagestani wrestling, that's a big part of it. I mean, it's a stupid question to say how much of the camp is dedicated to that. Of course, a lot of it is, I'm assuming a lot of it, stop the takedown and fight your fight on the feet, where I think you'll have an advantage. How are you preparing to do that, though? Are you bringing in a lot of wrestlers? Do you have anyone that can emulate that Dagestani style in your training camp?
Yeah, we're going to do a whole lot of different looks. Obviously, their wrestling is a high level. They're grappling and their control. You know, they're really, especially Islam, really good at pinning and holding people down and things like that. So we are obviously breaking down a lot of their movements and things that they like to do, techniques they like to do, and the way they go about their control. which is usually a little bit different to your normal jiu-jitsu guys and all that. Well, which everyone knows, but I don't think everyone will say that it's different, but they don't really know why. We are figuring out why. And, you know, we are understanding why, all the details and little details that are going to obviously give us a upper hand and things like that. So, man, it's, again, having the right people around you, the right people that want to figure things out like that, and then having guys at a very high level and a lot bigger than me, putting me in these positions. And even while I'm fatigued, I'm doing workouts where, you know, they're getting me really fatigued and then putting me in these really bad positions. Again, I can't really explain exactly what it is. Can't give too much away.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's pretty obvious what I'm talking about. But, I mean, getting me fully fatigued and then still working at it, and I'm still so hard to hold down. That's what people really don't understand. So, again, people are going to go, yeah, it's different to this. I go, I'll show you. Again, no disrespect to them. Their grappling is very good. That's why I'm taking this so serious. But let me tell you now, I'm the man for the job.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait. And that's really smart of you as well, Alex, because being able to do it and operate at a high level while you're tired, like you mentioned there, that is key, because when people get tired, that's when they make mistakes. And that was always like kind of my game plan. I'm going to fight at a high pace. They're going to get tired. When they start getting tired, they're going to make mistakes and they're going to give me something. So, yeah, no, that's actually genius that you identified that. 155. Go on.
Sorry, you'll be surprised. Like, honestly, even at the highest level, how many people don't do that? Like, how many people, like, will give up as soon as they're in a bad position? I'm like, I spend most of my camp in these shitty positions, the worst positions you can think of, the most later stage submission, later stage dominant positions, you know what I mean? Like all that type of stuff.
You starting your training sessions on your back in tough positions and you're going to fight out of that to get back to your feet before you can even start going to work?
Oh, mate, like we're doing, like that's the thing. A lot of people just prevent getting there. And then if the fight doesn't go there, good, that's a bonus. But I need to be prepared. I need to be ready if it does get there. Because there's a good chance. There's a good chance he might get the takedown, might get a nice trip, or whatever it is. I won't be surprised if he does it. Again, I'm working everything right now. But if it does, I guarantee you this. I'm going to be composed, I'm going to be calm, and I'm going to be fighting my ass off and getting back to my feet. And I will not panic. I will not panic. You won't see me lose composure. Nothing like that, because I'm doing, like, the amount of hours I'm doing it, that's why I'm so calm in these people. It's like, how do you do this? How do you do that? It's like, preparation is everything. It's just a lot of people don't prepare how they should, because the people are like, oh, I won't get there. But what if you do? Be ready. Yeah, what if you do? So for me, we know what he wants to do. So even if he does get me there, I'm going to be more than prepared, more than ready. And I'm going to be composed.
Yeah,
go for it. Yeah, I'm done.
Yeah, no. Sorry about it. I thought you were done. I was going to say, speaking like the pound for pound number one on the planet there, I'm telling you, because everything you're saying is absolutely spot on, Alex. It really is. At 55, you know, people think you're going up a weight class, which you are, but you came down. What were you at your heaviest in rugby? 220, 210, something like that?
214 pounds. It was 214 pounds. So it's about 97 kilograms.
So going up to 155 in a healthy way as well, not just anyone can put 10 pounds of blubber on and just be unhealthy, or maybe you don't cut the weight. But what do you think you'll be fight week? And then, you know, do you think you'll still have to cut a few pounds? Is that the plan?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to definitely have to cut. Look, people don't realize, even at featherweight, I cut a few kilos. Like I look reasonably small because of my short, but I mean, I'm obviously solid. I hold a lot of muscle and there's a lot of weight, dense weight there. So I usually got to cut a bit. So I'm definitely going to be cutting a fair bit. It's going to be a pretty decent cut. Because like you said, we are bulking. We're trying to do it correctly. Not only put on the weight, put the right weight on, right? Exactly what you're saying. So it's funny, I swear all the kilos that I put on are just going to my legs and my ass. So it's good to have my ghetto booty that I had back in the footy days. So.
That's the best place to have it, though. That is the best, exactly. Certainly for stopping takedowns. Like, my son's a wrestler. The poor guy, his ass and thighs are fucking gigantic, mate. We can't find pants or shorts or anything to fit him. It really is an issue. But still, in terms of wrestling and power, that's where it all comes from. In terms of stopping the takedown from this guy, You know, I mean that's got to be everything here. I'm assuming power is going to be a big part of that as well. Cardio. But do you think he's going to come in and just shoot for takedown straight away? You think he's going to try and, you know, play around on the feet a little bit, keep you guessing? What do you think his approach is going to be?
Oh, man, he's going to definitely mix it up. They're not silly. They're not a silly camp. They know, even when they're striking, they're very defensive aware, and it's their approach is always for their game. So, you know, a lot of people, like, they're striking, you know, you're not seeing them do, like, crazy striking. You know, you won't see, like, crazy kickboxing sort of striking, but everything's calculated. And the way they approach everything, it's pretty defensive. It's always a safe net and a way to, you know, work their sort of a shots from there or clinching and things like that. So they don't take unnecessary risks on the feet. Khabib was the same. So they're clever. They're clever like that. They don't take too much damage. But again, you know, I'm pretty clever on the feet. So and I'm not the type to just stand in front of someone. So obviously, they're going to be aware of that. They're going to know they're going to have to try and cut me off or try and work their way into a clinch. But it's easier said than done when you start putting these again. And they're very defensive aware, and you know, they don't like to take risks. So it's going to be, while I'm doing the movement, he's going to feel a little bit uncomfortable and he's going to find it a little bit frustrating and awkward to just shoot whenever. So he's going to have to approach it correctly, otherwise he'll be copping some of these.
And February 12th local time, when that goes down in Perth, this isn't taking place in Fight Island. This is going down Australia. You know, you're going to have a massive crowd. Yeah, the support, because I've been there. I fought in Australia. And I thought I might have got, like, the hometown advantage. But I was fighting Wanderlei Silva, who's a goddamn legend back in the day. Oh, the abuse that I got when I was walking out. When I came back next time, everyone was on my side. It was cool. But when I was fighting Wanderlei, Jesus Christ, the abuse that I got. I don't think he's ready for an Australian crowd. I mean, that is going to be the icing on the cake. Not only to beat Islam, become a two-weight division champion, but in your home country as well. Have you imagined that moment? Have you allowed yourself to go there yet?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, definitely. Like, you always picture that. You always, you know, you listen to music and then, you start, like, really, you know, not only... I'm the type of guy that I'll even, you know, I'll see my hands getting raised and all that and celebrating all that, but I even vision, like, details of the fight or, like, you know, situations and things like that. And which usually sometimes will happen in my fights as well, like where I think we're going to be and what I'm going to do. And so just start sort of putting that forward. So if I'm in this position, be ready to capitalize here and here. So I start to do a lot of that stuff, but I definitely have pictured my hand getting raised and the home crowd. You know, it's going to be incredible, man. It's been a while that I've fought here in Australia. And not only that, I wanted to defend my belt, but at least fight for a title. So I'm, you know, I'm going for the champion, making history, and it's going to be incredible, man. I can't wait, because the fans are going to be wild. Make the tickets sold like that. People, there's a lot of hype around this card, and I can't wait to go out there and show people what I'm capable of.
Yeah, yeah, and another thing that will make it nicer, and I don't mean this in any disrespect towards Islam or his team or anything, but Khabib will be there. He'll be in his corner, mm-hmm. you know, and he's known as the GOAT. And certainly they are a powerhouse team. So that'll be, I guess it just, that because it's even tougher, right? With Khabib as the coach, as the cornerman, as the mentor for that team, and how highly Khabib is revered. So as I say, I'm not saying it from a disrespect type thing, but to be the guy to go out there and be the first one, all right, granted he got knocked out when he first came on the scene in the UFC, but to go out there and take the belt off him, will that make it even extra sweet?
Oh, yeah. Again, they're like, no disrespect to them, but that's why this fight's so big to me. It's this, you know, this Dagestani wrestling. It's just, you know, no one can figure this out. You know, they're on a roll and all that. Khabib's boys and training partner, and then Islam, what he's been doing his last few, all that. That's what, again, I was chasing the champ. That's what motivated me before I knew who I was fighting. As soon as Islam won and the people talk, something just was like, bang. That's all that I cared about, is just taking out Islam. And it wasn't any disrespect, but I just felt like the fact of that, course. You know, like what you're saying, all that stuff just made it like this this fight so much bigger. And like me accomplishing this goal, not only, yeah, the champ is obviously going to be incredible, right? Like having two belts, like, let's be, you know, but not just that, it's just taking out, while doing that, taking out someone like Islam, you know, especially being from a featherweight going to move up to lightweight. then fighting not only any lightweight, you're going to Dagestani wrestling, Islam, who's known to just walk and control and throw around all these lightweights. How's Alex going to deal with that? You know what I mean? And this just makes my, when I get my hand raised, it just makes it so much bigger. So that's what's motivating me right now.
Yeah.
Like the fight itself. So it's going to be, yeah, extra special, getting both belts on them shoulders, but who I'm taking out in the process. You know what I mean? Again, like people look at it as, I just don't know why people don't ever want to challenge. Do I think this is going to be easy? No. Does it need a lot of preparation? Yeah, it does. Definitely. You know what I mean? It is a challenge. But what, just because it's a challenge, should I protect my record, protect this pound for pound spot, do all this? Nah, take it on. It's going to make you a better fighter. And honestly, so I've still got like 8 weeks left, or just under 8 weeks left. And I'm already twice the fighter I was, just because really? Of how I'm taking this fight. I'm stronger than I've ever been. My hips have never been so strong. My scrambling ability's never been on point. I've always been good there, but now it's just a whole nother level. So it's I can't wait to just go out there and, yeah, just go out there, prove all the doubters wrong. And then, yeah, like, again, the way people are carrying on, this is going to be absolutely massive, and massive for the legacy. So I can't wait.
Yeah, mate, it's going to be huge. I can't wait. Last one on the fight. A lot of people were saying this on Twitter, and then we'll ask you a couple of fun things and we'll let you get on your way. No mm-hmm. doubt, got a hard day of training ahead of you. The fact that, and this is with no disrespect, the fact that you're a shorter guy, mm-hmm. do you think that's going to make him harder to take you down? Because in my opinion, whenever, and listen, I'm no Dagestani wrestler, I'm no D1 wrestler, nothing like that, but I can wrestle a little bit. It's part of the job. Whenever I was trying to take down someone that was shorter than me, that had a lower center of gravity, I really struggled. Taller guys, you can get in the legs nice and easy, pick them up, put them down. Do you think he's going to struggle with that as well?
Of course. You know, that's just, I guess, science, isn't it? Like, you know, that lower center of gravity.
Physics.
Physics. That's the word I was looking for. You know, it's just facts. That's just how it is, right? Like, even when I played rugby league, I was always hard to tackle, because I was short and stocky, and I could, you know, and I'm always get a quick play the ball. So easy for me to get up because of that short. So it's not only harder to take down, it's a lot easier to scramble and get back to your feet. Like I'm an inch away from getting to my knees and to my feet. Like, you know what I mean? That's what it's like for me.
So like, an inch away, you know, come on.
You know what I mean? Like a couple little like shrimps or a couple little turns and things, and then I'm half up. Like, you know, that's the difference here. And people, you know, obviously, when they grapple me, they totally understand that. Like, they're like, fuck, like, you know, I feel like I'm a, they blow out obviously about my strength, and then just not, even when they're on top and trying to hold, they're like, how can I just put all my weight and hold this guy? What's going on? It's just, again, it's obviously me understanding the game and me fighting for every millimeter, and I'll fight for every millimeter for that whole 25 minutes. And a lot of people give up when things don't go their way, but I don't. I'm always find a way. I'm a problem solver, always have been. And I'm going to figure it out.
Yeah, wow. I'm pumped for it. As you say, you are a problem solver. And what I mean by that is, obviously, you had two fights with Max. You know, a lot of people said they were close, whatever. The third one, earlier this year, you put that to bed in style. 50-45. It wasn't even close. Totally closed the door on that entire chapter. And in doing so, and in, combined with the fight with, I think it was Zombie at the start of the year, 2022 Fighter of the Year as well. You're picking up awards all over the place, Volk. Come on. Life of Volkanovski is very good right now.
Yeah, man, it is. It is. It's pretty incredible. Like, obviously, the hard work is, and it's always good to see it get noticed, right? Like, you know, when you put that work in, you do what you got to do, take on fights that, you know, some people wouldn't do, you know, even though you're already 2-0 against someone like Max, knowing that Max was still that big challenge. And, you know, do you need to do this? You know what I mean? For me, for my legacy, I needed to do it.
You didn't need to do it, to be fair, but I understand.
Exactly. For me, you know, I needed to do it. And again, that's a, you know, I mean, what makes people good champions as well, like, you're not going to turn up every time, right? You cannot turn up. There's going to be days where you don't turn up. But when you say problem solver, even like, I made it pretty clear about that second fight, how, you know, there's things, we won't get into it, but to be able to even feel like that and not be there 100% and then still find a way to just turn things around and bring it back to yourself. Like, things like that. Like, you know, I was in no right to even end up coming on top from how I was sort of feeling. But that's just the guy I am, the problem solver I am, is I'm gonna find a way. My body don't want to, you know, everything's feels like it's not going the way I want it. But we're gonna find a way. In the guillotines with Ortega, get in there. Like, it's like I was trying everything I could. It wasn't working. All right, well,
that was close. How close? How uncomfortable was that? Because I remember again, mate, when I was in Australia, Vanderlei Silva had me in a guillotine. I was like, shit, and I could see Dana and Lorenzo Fertitta sitting right there, and they were looking at me, and I'm like, ah. But then the bell ended, thank God. But how close was that?
Oh, mate, it was deep. Like, as I told you, I put myself in the later stage sort of submissions and things like that, as you could think of, and like, I'd let people like go deep. I'd make them like, I'll go loose so they can get the best position they can. And like, no one even got a close to how deep he still got it. You know what I mean? Like, that's,
he's good.
But like,
good.
That, like the way he did it as well, because it was mounted, the way he trapped my legs, even trapped my arms at the start, and the way he had that connection from his hips to my hips, everything was just textbook, beautiful. Like, the way he did that was actually beautiful to watch. But, again, I was doing everything. It was deep. Like, the lights were dimming, everything. Yeah, I remember holding on, doing everything that I thought I needed to do, kipping to make a bit of space, trying to get that hip up, and it wasn't working. Like, you know what I mean? The lights were still sort of dimming, and I'm like, well, fuck, I ain't stopping. I'm going to keep pushing. I'm going to keep going. He's either going to tire, his arms will gas before I go out, or I die, whatever it is. We'll see. So I just kept going, and then sure enough, he started getting weaker and weaker, and then the lights started coming back, and then instantly, even this is just where I am. I still can't breathe properly, right? I'm still struggling, but I could see that everything was coming back, and I could, you know, obviously knew that he was tiring. And I'm already, while I'm still getting strangled, thinking, I'm going to get up, I'm going to fuck this guy up. As soon as I get up, he's gassing, I'm going to fucking pour it on. You know what I mean? So it's just funny where my head's at, like, you know, the way I do things, I'm always looking at different to how people would be like, all right, get out, all right, chill, pull guard, or whatever it is. Get your breath back. His arm's gas. I'm going to fucking capitalize on that and punch his head through the canvas. So that's exactly what I did.
Amazing, mate. Absolutely amazing. Obviously, one of the best, if not the best fighter in the world right now. A fantastic father as well. A loving family man. It is Christmas coming up at the end of the week or first day of next week. Sunday or Monday for you, is it? I'm not sure. But Christmas, mate. Talk me through Christmas when you're in training camp for a champ fight. I mean, because, you know, yeah, fortunately, you're going to be at 155. I'm assuming you can indulge a little bit, but talk me through Christmas Day in training camp.
Yeah, man, it's just obviously there's going to be a couple of days there where, you know, we'll train, but I'll still have to have that. You know, recovery is a big part, but I mean, there's going to be big days where you have to sort of be able to still spend time with the family. You can't just sit there and lay in bed and recover for the next session. So I think on Christmas Day, I still haven't talked to Joe. Whether we get a session out in the morning, then have the arvo off, I'll figure that out. But
that's discipline, man. Maybe, that is discipline.
Maybe, exactly. We'll see. Maybe not. I think maybe Christmas Day. Maybe we'll have the day off on the Christmas Day. I'll talk to Joe. I don't want to ask.
It's
him.
A Sunday. Come on, or a Monday for you.
It's a we're actually doing sessions on every day at the moment anyway. So again, we started camp early. But yes, obviously it's going to be a plenty of family time, but as long as I'm there, get the sessions out of the way and be present. You know what I mean? I'll just try my best to be present and work around that while I'm still doing work.
How many kids do you have? Is it just one or is it two girls?
Two girls.
Two girls. Yeah. I can hear one of them in the background. She's having a bit of fun there. Do they know? How old are they, Volk? My apologies.
Five and seven.
And do they understand what you do?
Sort of, yeah. Like, yeah, they do now. Yeah, so they do. Again, they understand, and they're starting to understand the depths of it too, right? They understand, like, oh, yeah, daddy's champion and all that. But, you know, like, now they understand why people want photos, or when people come talk to me and they're like, you know, I need to talk to them. And they're like, oh, yeah, he's a fan or something like that. They get the extent of it all now. So now they know that. Obviously, they know UFC. They know MMA is a sport. You can't just do that out in the streets and stuff like that. So they're really starting to get it all now anyway. So it's good. I think the last fight with Max, they ended up seeing. I don't know if they seen towards the end of the fight or they actually were there for the decision, like for the decision to get my hand raised and things like that. And then I think they seen everyone there, the way that they were reacting and all that type of stuff. I think they got a real sense of, oh, wow, this is big. You know what I mean? Yeah, like they got a real understanding. Because when I come back, even my little one, was like, whoa, wow, you know what I mean? Like, it was just different. It was something different. I think they really understood it after the last one.
It's the best feeling in the world, isn't it? You know, you go and win your fight, come back to your family. Fantastic. All right, let's just talk about BetterHelp really quick. BetterHelp, they offer professional counseling, but it's all done online. So you don't have to travel across town, sit in your car, go in a waiting room. It takes all the awkwardness out of it, essentially, but it focuses on your mental health, okay? And that is such an important thing these days. There's never been a bigger spotlight on it, but still, there was still a stigma attached. And there's still a lot of people, I feel, that, you know, that do suffer, that do have issues, but that still don't want to talk about it. And sometimes now, especially at this time of year, at Christmas, you know, when maybe some people, you're looking around, you think they've got the perfect family, and maybe you're on your own or whatever it is, and maybe you're feeling lonely or sad, depressed, anxious. You know, everyone's out drinking and having a good time, and those addiction issues are popping up and being an even bigger issue than what they sometimes usually are. Speak to somebody will help. Let's go into 2023 with the best version of yourself and do that by using the support that BetterHelp offers. They've helped over 1 million people take charge of their mental health. Okay, so much so that they are recruiting new counselors all the time. By the way, you know, when you sign up in just 48 hours, you'll be hooked up with your own licensed professional therapist. If you don't like him or her, then you can just find a new one. You can switch straight away. You don't have to explain why or nothing like that. Just get a new one. You know, just use the functions on the app to get that done. So sign up to this. Take charge of your mental health, right? Come on. You know, if there's an issue, you know what it is. You know what it is. Maybe I haven't identified it, but a lot of people have something if they're honest about it. And you know what? Just talking about it, getting this stuff off your chest. Like I've said it a few times when I was going through my anger management program, it helped me so much. It really, really did. So whatever it is, come on, be man enough or woman enough to take that first step and do it in the most convenient and cost-effective way by going to betterhelp.com/believe. Betterhelp.com/believe. That will get you 10% off. Time you took charge of your mental health and became the person that you were always capable of being. Betterhelp.com/believe. You're going to get 10% off your first month, and good luck. You know, you mentioned them knowing what you do. In Australia now, the sport's getting bigger and bigger all the time. Of course, guys like yourself, Robert Whittaker, Tai Tuivasa, Jack Della Maddalena is doing huge things. How is the reception on a mainstream level? For example, the reason I bring this up is because one of the questions on Twitter, somebody wanted me to ask you about this. Leon Edwards, of course, won the belt recently. He's the only British champion that we have. And he was snubbed for the BBC Sports Personality of the Year. Was it even on the shortlist? So a lot of people are annoyed at that because they felt he should have been. And he should have been, you know, but they don't really recognize it as much. How is the recognition level in the mainstream in Australia?
Yeah, well, look, mainstream, you're right. It would be the similar here as well. Right. You know, it's they don't jump aboard. Like, obviously, you know, like, it's not up to me to be this, but, I mean, they do awards. Obviously, you're getting Fighter of the Year in MMA and all this type of stuff. But the fans, obviously, Australia, the people, everyone understands the sport's so big in Australia now.
Yeah.
So big. So, like, some of your UFC athletes are some of the biggest stars in Australia when it comes to sport as well. But you're right. You know, when you're looking at it from a mainstream point of view, it's not where it should be, which is unfortunate, you know, especially for myself when I try and be, you know, the athlete I am and what I try and represent, you know, my family man. And, you know, I'm all about, you know, discipline, hard work, respect, all that type of stuff. You know, try to be a good role model, right? That's just who I am. But, you know, that doesn't get recognized because, you know, some people still look at the sport a little bit different, which is unfortunate. You know what I mean? Especially with all the accomplishments I've got this year. A lot of the people understand it, but I mean, the mainstream, you know, won't give you the recognition.
The institutions.
But again, that's not up to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You,
know, exactly.
You just keep so doing you. It's the institutions. Yeah, exactly. So Christmas Day. Who's going to be cooking, Volk? Because you've got the cooking channel. We see you on Instagram, see you on YouTube. You're always cooking up a storm. I'm assuming you'll be in the kitchen.
Yeah, that's me, mate. That'll be me. I'll get the camera out and do some. I love cooking, man. I don't mind cooking. I'll get the camera out, get a little episode out of it as well.
Nice.
And people love it. So it's good. Yeah, man. I enjoy it. And now I can eat the food. So that's
absolutely
good. So,
absolutely.
Mate, I tell you what. I'm struggling with, like, I never thought, you know, being a fighter and always cutting weight and all that type of stuff and dieting. And I used to hear people whinge about bulking and trying to put on weight and eating too much. And I always felt, look at these guys whinging about eating too much. Like, you know, how about them? But now, honestly, I made understand it is hard work. It is physically and mentally hard to force down, especially when, again, the calories you're trying to put down are reasonably clean, right?
Yeah,
so there's
yeah.
a lot of food.
So it's not chocolate, it's like, not beers, it's not a steak pie or nothing or a pizza. It's good old-fashioned exactly meat right. and vegetables and pasta and rice.
Yeah, exactly. Meat, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, the carbs and proteins are just, yeah, barely any fats and saturated fats and all that type of stuff where a lot of calories are. So there's a lot of, rice, pastas and chicken and proteins and shit like that. But I mean, it's harder than you'd think.
No, it's a tough life you've got there, Volk. As a guy that had to kill himself to get to 185, I've got limited sympathy, brother.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a good problem to have, I guess. You know?
Yeah, of course it is. So Christmas dinner, do you do a traditional turkey or the rest of it? Is that what you do out there or is it a little different?
A little different. We'll usually have big barbecues and that. Like, it depends on what we're doing, but I'll usually have a few things going. So, you know, whether it's, you know, you could have, you know, some pork, you could have, you know, beef, have chicken wings, you name, have a bit of everything. So it's, usually just a big barbecue and a shitload of different types of food.
Do you know how to cook a Yorkshire pudding?
Yorkshire pudding. Which one's that? Pudding. Is that the one with the jelly?
No, bro. Come on. You got to do a Yorkshire pudding. I was asking my wife. She does them. Christmas dinner in our house isn't Christmas dinner without them. And Sunday, we're going out for the first time ever just because my wife can't be else cooking because I can't cook to save my life. But Friday, we're doing a traditional roast with the Yorkshire pudding. You get some, what is it? Eggs, milk, flour, mix it together, get some boiling hot fat in like the baking tray. Pour it in,
it's a gravy,
in the oven, and it swells up. A Yorkshire pudding. You've never had a Yorkshire pudding, Volk?
I know I've heard of it. Now that you're mentioning that, like the way you're saying it, now I'm trying to figure out maybe not. I know we have some things that it's a dessert that you have over there in England. What is it? Like it's a
sticky toffee pudding?
I'm not sure, but it's got every
trifle.
It's got like jelly. It's got like...
Yeah, trifle, the jelly, the jam, the jelly with like the sponge, custard, cream.
Yes, that's the one. Yeah, Emma's Nina always brings that around. So like we always have that on Christmas Day as well.
Yeah. All right, well, listen, mate, we'll let you get going to training in just a second. Harrington, he has scoured the questions on Twitter. The people have spoken. Harrington, don't be alarmed by his appearance. He's a fool. We know this. It's okay, though. Harrington's main question before you came on was, I wonder if the champ, the pound-for-pound number one, the fighter of the fucking year, is going to have the pink headphones on. Disrespect.
Oh, yeah. I finally upgraded to just earpods. So nothing special. I mean, like, man, I still remember that day. Eh? It was funny because I literally... Like, I was like, man, I don't even have headphones. Like, what am I going to do here? So I just end up using the girls' headphones.
Nice.
But it was funny. I still remember talking to you about it was before the match, the first fight, when I was fighting for the title.
Yeah.
Remember you had to have a toilet break while you were working. And I was about to walk out.
Oh, shit. I was, did I really? Like, well, that's disrespectful. Well, yeah. I apologize.
No. You're waiting, though. You're waiting. You're sitting there because you've seen that I was about to walk out for, you know, the biggest fight of my life at the time. Yeah, this is the title fight. And I seen you there and I realized that you wanted to pass. I'm like, no, you're right, bro. Go.
Yeah. Then, shit, like, that's right.
Sorry,
that's
mate.
Right.
Sorry, mate. I told you, I go, hey, remember the pink headphones? Yeah. I remember saying this as I was walking out to fight Max.
No, I do remember. Oh, shit. Hey, that's cool. But that shows your mindset. Right before then, remember the pink headphones, walking out for a fight like that, a title fight against Max, who was unbeaten back then. Do you know? Well, not unbeaten, but he was the man. You know what I'm saying? Still.
Yeah.
It's mindset.
Yeah, man, honestly, that's just how I am. I'm so like composed, and again, this is a sport to me, and I treat it like a sport. That's why I'm very calculated and things like that. So that's why you can see me sort of break people down in there, and that's what you're going to see February 12th as well. So I can't wait.
And that is so powerful, and Harrington will get to you right now because I used to try and wind myself up and like get like that, which is those totally wrong thing to do. You want to be cool, calm and collected. I'm assuming you agree with that.
Yeah, I do. I do. Like, again, everyone's different, right? But yeah, for me, I want to be, I don't want to put me, myself in my mind frame and, you know, my mind, like, I don't want to put me in a position that I'm not used to, right? Like, you know, I don't walk around the house, or I don't walk around training, revving myself up, putting me in this sort of state that I'm not used to. I want to go in like how I would sparring. Obviously, now I know that I'm allowed to punch them a bit harder, which is all right. But at the same time, I want to be that clear, right? I want to be that clear where I can go out there and really figure these guys out and stick to a game plan and have my way with them.
Awesome. Harrington, right. The Volk, the champ. The champ, the fighter of the year has got training to get to, okay? So don't waste his time on shitty questions.
Not going to. Speaking of training, Brightside MMA wants to know, in Australia, we don't seem to have a lot of Sambo. How are you doing finding training partners for this fight specifically?
Yeah, man, like we end up bringing a Sambo guy. So there was a guy that we come in and there's a bit of a story to that. I won't get into that, but I mean, like... Yeah, so we ended up bringing him, but it wasn't the most respectful in the conversation. So, you know, I had to, yeah. So when we bring him in to sort of teach him a lesson. But anyway, it was, yeah. So
I'll leave it. Put him in his place.
I'm not usually like that. I'm not usually like that. But I mean, like, yeah, he thought like, oh, you're going to need this, need that. And then I showed him real quickly that we didn't need nothing.
I've had that a couple of times with a couple of Iranian wrestlers. I had some Iranian wrestlers. They thought their shit didn't stink. Ooh. Anyway, come on. Carry on, Harrington.
Mate, it was just that, look, again, like, you know, just the way it was. And I was like, well, look, yeah, anyway, I don't want to get into it because the guy, you know, could be watching and be like, oh, you know, I didn't mean it like that. Well, anyway, that's how we took it.
And that's why
I will a little, I'm not usually like that in training, but I mean, I had to prove a bit of a point. And yeah, it wasn't just me. I didn't want just me to prove a point. I even got some of my guys. I've got like guys that are like 21-year-olds and things like that. And we had like Craig Jones that there. And just we all showed him like, do we really need you, mate? Yeah, settle down, right? Like, yeah, again, your shit don't stink, you know? We're like, come on, mate. So yeah, that's sort of how it was. So we sort of taught him a lesson.
Hell yeah. All right, so it seems like you're prepared for the Sambo, to say the least. All right, number four.
So, yeah, look, we're bringing a lot of different looks, but obviously we did bring a Sambo. And again, there's no disrespect, like we wanted to, but it was just how that person went about it.
Okay. All right, number four, featherweight. Arnold Allen wants to know, do you have meal deals in Australia? And if so, what is your go-to?
Do you know what a meal deal is?
A meal deal. Now, what's a meal deal?
So in England, Harrington shouldn't have asked this because I knew you wouldn't know. It's where you go into a supermarket and for like a sandwich might be £1.95, but for £2.30, you can get the sandwich, like a bottle of water and a bag of chips or crisps. You know what I mean? So that's a meal deal. But Arnold Allen. Arnold Allen loves a meal deal. He's always going on about them, but never mind the meal deal.
See, he loves a good bargain. That's good. I like it.
He loves a bargain. but is that a meal that you would love to chow down on at 1:45 one day, Arnold Allen? I'm talking about.
So wait. Now I'm getting confused. Was this a different type of question, or we?
Just that he brought up Arnold Allen. Arnold Allen, obviously, I think he's on like a nine-fight win streak. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
Do you see him as a future?
Honestly,
go ahead.
Oh, 100%. He's a great fighter. Great human being too. So I've got a lot of respect for the kid, and I want him to do good as well. So and he's right there, right? That's the thing. You got the guys that are fighting for the interim now. There's three of them that, you know what I mean, he's one of them. Like it was going to be, someone was going to miss out. Someone that deserved it was going to miss out. And that was, you know, that was fact. And I had him right up there with the other two. So he's definitely right there. And again, he's the one who's at least trying to go out there and earn it. Doesn't, you know, he's the type of guy with the earn not given type of attitude. And I love that. So keep doing what you're doing. He's a good, like I said, I like the guy, and he's got good skill as well. So I'll definitely be seeing him in the future. I know him.
Yeah, no, he's a lovely guy and very, very humble, hard worker. On that interim title fight, I would be remiss if I didn't ask, who do you think wins that?
That's an interesting one, man. I've been thinking about hearing the who do I think is going to win. I feel like Josh Emmett for me to use all his tools as well. Like, again, obviously he's got the big hands, but I really think he'll be able to land some bigger shots if he starts, you know, engaging in some wrestling and all that. I think he's going to be a lot more powerful than Yair. Have Yair second guessing and worrying about other things so he can start landing hands and then get him on his back and all. It depends if he tries to use all his MMA tools. I think Josh Emmett can do it. If he just wants to stand there and bang, I think that favors Yair Rodriguez.
Harrington.
So a lot of people want to know, Zabit is talking about making a return possibly at 145. Was that a fight you felt like got away? Like, is that it, what are your thoughts on his possible return to the division?
Yeah, I was looking forward to that eventually happening, right? Because I'm the type of guy, the thing is, I want fights and I want big fights, right? Like, and I felt like he was going to be a big fight. There was a lot of hype around him. But again, I want people to earn that spot as well, because I don't want, like, it's so much different when you've got a guy that's killing a lot of hype and he's number one contender to then, oh, he hasn't even fought a top five guy. And then just giving him a title. I don't know. They're just because a lot of people were throwing all other names. I've always wanted there to be a guy. That's the guy who's next. And everyone's screaming their name. And I thought he was gonna be there. I thought he was one fight away from fighting for a title. And I thought that was gonna be a big fight. So I was disappointed when I heard that he went away. But I did see something that he might come back. But after Feb 12, after I do what I do, he might go and retire again. So we'll see what happens.
Final question, Harrington, then we'll let the champ get about his day.
Okay, this one, I it's over my head, but I'm hoping you can give me an answer here. Favorite character from the Big Les Show?
I have
the
no
Big
idea
Les Show.
Means.
Oh, mate. What's his name? The main guy. It's not big. The Big Les Show. Oh, that's, man, that's a hilarious. I still watch that. What's his name?
I have no idea what you're talking about. Baby. I don't know.
Do you know the guy's names, or is that just a question?
No, that is 100% a question. It came out of nowhere, but I saw it's a highly rated show. I figured you'd know it.
Mate, it's hilarious. It's hilarious. It's just like as Aussie bogans as you can get. I'm forgetting his name. The Big Les Show. With the beard. See the guy with the beard and the moustache?
Yeah. Oh, that's me.
That fella. that's you. There you go.
I think I've got another Aussie. I've got another Aussie question here. I think it's from Crossing the Line. It says, ask him how he is going to explain to Islam how he should never pick a fight with someone from the Gong. Whatever the hell the Gong.
That's where we're from.
Oh, Wollongong, is it?
That's Wollongong. Wollongong. Yeah. Wollongong. That's where I'm from. So, he's going to know. How do you just, you know how you tell him? You let them know with ease. That's how you
there it is. Best takedown in the game. Left hook. Never mind all your single legs. Alex, thank you very much for your time. I know you're a busy man. You've got a big fight. It's Christmas. You've got children. You've got training camp. On top of all your accolades that you've achieved, hopefully you're going to be a two-division champion. You might be, and this trumps them all, this will be the biggest win for you, guest of the year on the Believe You Me podcast. Oh. I mean, come on. The day just keeps getting better.
There you go.
Alex, you're the man.
I'm just ticking off all these goals, you know what I mean? I'm just
ticking those boxes left, right, and center, mate. Hey, listen, on a serious one, thanks for your time. Really, really appreciate it. I'll see you down in Perth. Good luck with the rest of the training camp. Have a wonderful time at Christmas with your family. Thank you very much.
No worries. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Likewise, mate. You take care. Merry Christmas. There he is. The soon-to-be potentially double champ, the fighter of the year, the best guest of the year, maybe. Don't be offended if you came on the show. The featherweight champion of the world. I mean, come on. It is a good time right now for Alexander Volkanovski. We are so grateful for him joining us. We'll be back in just a second. All right, let's talk about Manscaped. You know the deal by now. Manscaped are the world's leader in below-the-waist grooming. And of course, they have the Platinum Package 4.0, which really is the one-stop shop for the man that deserves it all. And they also have the Performance Package, the Lawnmower 4.0. It's waterproof. It's got a long battery, the skin-safe technology. Basically, when the Manscaped first came out and changed the game, this is the 4.0. It's four times as good. But with that, in the Performance Package, you also get the Weed Whacker for the ear hair, the nose hair. You get the Crop Preserver, the Bowl Deodorant, the Crop Reviver Ball Toner, and that is the Performance Package. You can get the Platinum Package, which has everything that I just mentioned, okay, every product from the best-selling performance package. Plus, it comes with the ultra-premium body wash, the ultra-premium two-in-one shampoo. Use that this morning. My hair is silky smooth. And if you're a little bit smelly, you get the ultra-premium deodorant. All the Manscaped stuff, it's sulfate-free, it's vegan. It makes your skin feel nice and hydrated and smelling fresh. But most importantly, if you are a man and you've never trimmed your below-the-waist area, what are you doing? Okay, get it together. Okay, your partner, male or female, doesn't want to see that. Let's be honest. Get it together. Rebecca, you like it with a Manscaped, right? We've got the Rebecca Bisping seal of approval, and your missus could give it you as well. The Platinum Package 4.0 sitting under the tree is guaranteed to put a smile on anyone, guaranteed to put them in the holiday spirit and for the perfect stocking stuffer. Why don't you add in the brand new body buffer? An incredible body scrubber that makes exfoliating easy and a lot cleaner than that old loofah. Okay, lots of products. Get the Manscaped. Get the Performance Package. Get the Platinum Package. And also get 20% off with free shipping when you go to manscaped.com. You use the code Bisping, as I say. 20% off with free shipping when you go to manscaped.com and you use the code Bisping. Manscaped. Get your jingle balls ready for the holidays. All right, listen, I think I'll be speak on behalf of everybody when I say Volkanovski, what a guest, potentially guest of the year. As I say, I was already so excited for that fight down in Perth. Number one, I'm commentating it. Number two, I'm interviewing the fighters in the cage as well on pay-per-view. I'm very, very excited for that. What an opportunity. And hopefully I get to speak to him in Perth, but may the best man win. Of course, got nothing against Islam or any of his team or Khabib. They're all legends. They're all incredible. Truly may the best man win, but my mouth is watering now at the prospect of that fight. Anyway, moving on. Bryce Mitchell, who we saw in action at UFC 282, came up short against Ilia Topuria. He came out this week. I saw it on his Instagram yesterday that there was a lot of people thinking that he was alluding towards retirement, Harrington.
I mean, he out and out said it immediately following his loss to Topuria, just with some footage that was caught with him backstage. Yeah, I think he was talking to his girlfriend, and he said in no uncertain terms, he wants to take all of the passion. Or here, I'm not going to speak for the man.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just feeling, I guess, regret, you know. I just know I could have done better. I'm just in so much pain that I just don't think it's worth it to keep going. So I want to stop with MMA, and I want to take every bit of focus that I've spent every single day on MMA. I want to put it into something else. Everything's meant to be, and I'm just going to move on with my life and take all the energy that I spent doing MMA. I'm going to put it into something else, and I think that I'm going to be extremely successful.
Oh, there he is. Anthony Smith just willy-nilly, just dropping in the middle of a heartfelt segment with Bryce Mitchell bearing his soul. You just pop in, you know, as I say, willy-nilly, traveling the world. What have you got there, buddy?
Oh, a good old-fashioned Moscow mule, Mr. Bisping.
Oh, Moscow muling it up. Well, we're working.
In the middle of the day.
Know? Hey, and why the hell not? It's Christmas week. It's Christmas week. Where are you, buddy? We won't keep you too long. We know you're away with a family, but you've had quite the time. I believe you got caught in snowstorms, etc.
Well, I'm in Houston, and there's a cold front going through Houston, and there's a huge snowstorm hitting Omaha. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to get back.
Oh, well, what about if you go back to Arkansas?
Arkansas would probably be just fine. Hey, what's going on with Bryce Mitchell?
Oh, we were just watching it there. There was a piece of footage. It was a very, very honest, raw, emotional journey that you just interrupted. If you look at your text, I said, call in 7 minutes. But no, it's okay. He was just saying that, you know, obviously the amount of pain that you go through physically and emotionally after a loss, and he's just not sure if he wants to do this anymore. I mean, we didn't get to see it all because someone interrupted, but something along those lines, not all jokes aside, I would love to hear your take on that.
Yeah. You know, I think there's a lot of weight that comes with being undefeated and you're kind of the hype, you know, he's the big name. He's probably has the most pressure on him. losing sucks, especially if you haven't done it in a long time. You know, I've been in situations where, you know, you lose one or you lose two in a row, and then you're out for a while, whether it's injury or recovery or just where you work out in the division. You always remember what it feels like to lose, but sometimes you forget what it feels like to win. And I would imagine that Bryce hasn't felt what it really felt like to lose in a long time. So that it's a fresh new feeling that he probably, you know, had put in the back of his head.
Yeah.
And that's tough, man. And he's right. You do go through a lot of pain and suffering and sacrifice, and then you lose. And sometimes you get this overwhelming feeling of, why in the fuck am I doing this? It's painful. This sucks. I don't want to, you know, like I understand that, you know, that sometimes it doesn't seem worth it, you know? And I guess he's too good to just hang it up now. He's too young. But I think once you realign your thinking and maybe your goals and what you have going on, I think he'll be okay. But I totally relate and I know how he feels.
We've all been there. We've all been there, but we haven't all been to Houston in the middle of a snowstorm. When you look out the window right now, what do you see? Is it blizzard conditions or not too bad right now?
No, it's cold here. It's not snowing here. It's snowing in Nebraska. Okay. That's the problem.
Will you be home for Christmas?
Here, I'll show you. I'll show you what we look like.
Let's take a look.
Take
us on a tour.
It's Houston, Texas. It's cold as shit out, but it's pretty nice out here, Mr. Bisping. I feel like you could probably get down with some Houston.
Oh, look at this. It's a tough life for Anthony Smith.
It's too cold to get in, though. It's freezing out here.
How much will we have to pay you to jump in that pool right now in your underpants?
No fucking way. It's fucking cold. The hot tub.
$100. $100. $100.
I can't do it. It's too cold.
Of course. Hey, well, listen. We'll leave you to it. We just wanted to say hello really quickly. Thanks for just FaceTiming in. On behalf of all the believers and the whole team here, we love that you're a part of the show, Anthony. Hope you have a great Christmas with your family. And I always say this, but it's not the end of the show, but I'm going to say it anyway. Do you have a Christmas message for all the believers out there?
Of course, I always have a message for the believers. I've been getting lots of bits and bobs shipped to the address I gave. So I appreciate all the presents and decorations and stuff that I can put up in the office. Once I get home, we're going to get that finished and we'll be up and running again. But as always, I appreciate everybody, the nice messages, just a lot of people reaching out and appreciating me taking over the podcast and making it bearable. Yeah. So,
You know, I just did an epic interview, 45 minutes long with Alexander Volkanovsky. You know what I mean?
Oh, see, you're so good at those interviews. I'm not great at it because I just want to have a conversation about shit that I want to know. And I'm not good enough at asking the questions that probably everybody else wants to know.
Well, according to everyone, I just interrupt. And I did interrupt Volkanovsky a couple of times, but only because I wanted to ask about something he just said before the moment goes. But listen, mate. Safe journey home. Hope you have an amazing time with your family. Merry Christmas, mate. We love you on the show.
Take care.
Love that our friendship has grown stronger as well. So God bless you and all your family. We'll let you go. We'll talk to you soon. So just to refresh, guys, he was walking through with his beautiful girlfriend, by the way. So Bryce Mitchell might have had suffered his first loss, but he's winning in life under a lot of pressure because the Earth's flat, so the gravity will push down on it even stronger. But all flat Earth nonsense to one
No,
side.
You don't understand, Mike. It's not gravity. It's magnetism.
Whatever it fucking is. If it's curved, it'll be like displaced. If it's flat, you're feeling the pressure. But feeling the pressure, that's what it essentially comes down to. I mean, I get it for Bryce Mitchell. He was 15-0, I think, going into that. You know, the first time you experience a loss at anything, really, you know, whether it's business, a relationship, a girlfriend, what you know, you get fired from work or whatever, it's not something you're used to dealing with. And it's not something you want to get used to dealing with, but you kind of have to, you know what I mean? And to quote the famous Rocky, it's not how many times you can get hit. Oh, it's not how many, what is it? I can't even quote it. It's not how many times you can hit, how many times you can get hit and keep going forward.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that a famous philosopher though said that first in a way more articulate manner than I just delivered it, you know. But yeah, but that's what you've got to do. That's what people respect. You know, like I was a loudmouth, cocky asshole, and I still am. But I think towards the end of my career, I got respect of people because I refused to quit. You know, a wise man said, quit is never win. But I think people respected that. And I think Bryce Mitchell, yeah, he'll go through a few days of feeling down and sad and lick your wounds, you know, and maybe feel a little sorry for yourself, you know. But and that's a natural process. But I truly don't believe that's the last we'll see of Bryce Mitchell. What say you, Harrington?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I'd like to agree with you, but there is something about Bryce that tells me he marches to the beat of his own drum. This is a UFC fighter who stayed in college. Like, he would get beaten up on Saturday and be in class Monday morning, like, with his homework done. There's something about him that I think is just wired a little bit differently. And you're right. It most likely is just being emotional after taking a loss. He had lost on The Ultimate Fighter before. But, I mean, this is the first time since 2018 tasted defeat, now as a ranked fighter. But, like, this is somebody who I think could go and do stuff. Like, isn't necessarily, like, tied into this, sure, like, blood in, blood out, where I think he can do more, you know, I guess with that degree that he earned himself while he was in college.
Listen, he's clearly a switched-on guy, you know. He's got a budding rap career, for crying out loud. He walks out to his own music. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. I didn't know that when I was in the arena a couple of Saturdays ago. He was walking out and it's blaring through like a rap song. I'm like, shit. I said, that's Bryce's own song, which is pretty cool. He's also got a little sideline going in soaps. I don't know if you've seen that on his Instagram.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's standing there in his dungarees. He's selling all kinds of cartons of soap and all the rest of it. I think he'll bounce back. But eventually the time comes for all fighters to retire. And this year, just like every year, there's been a slew of your favorite fighters retiring. So that's why you've got to enjoy these people now, because who was it that just retired? Who was it that just came out? Frankie Edgar. Frankie Edgar just retired. Frankie the Answer. I mean, what a legendary career he had. You know what I mean? And he's one of those guys you think he's going to go on forever. But if you think back to all your favorite fighters, the people that got you involved in this sport, and here's one for me, Maurizio Shogun Hua. Maurizio Shogun Hua, his final fight, sorry, that's what I was thinking of, is next month in Brazil on the pay-per-view against who's he fighting. I forget who he's fighting, but it's inconsequential to me. It's Shogun's final fight. I remember when I first discovered mixed martial arts as professional competition, watching him in Pride and seeing that run that he went on in the 2004 Pride Grand Prix, the performances that he had. He was my hero. He was my inspiration. I was like, wow. You know what I mean? I looked up to him so much, you know what I mean? And to see the career that he still had, still having, sure, granted, a fall from grace. But he said, win or lose next month, that is his final fight. And Harrington, you have a list of some people that retired this year, and I'm sure there's many others that will soon be gone.
Yeah, I mean, you alluded to it just a second ago. I mean, Frank Edgar, for sure. Jose Aldo called it quits this year. Donald Cowboy Cerrone. Joanna Jędrzejczyk also called it a career. And then, a couple weeks ago, TJ Dillashaw, again, leaving the sport.
TJ Dillashaw. Might be back. Might be a little USADA loophole issue. We don't know. Jim Miller. Right?
Hey, Jim?
I'm not sure. I don't think he retired. But he's got to be like right there on the verge. Dominic Cruz, with respect, the greatest bantamweight that the sport's ever seen. One's got to think that potentially next year could be his last year. I mean, who knows? I'm not putting him out to rest. I'm not saying that. And God forbid, if I did, he would embarrass me on live TV. Oh, fucking right, he would. He'd try and fight me for crying out loud. But I'm saying you can't go on forever. I mean, if you look back, you know, when everyone's favorite fighters, if you followed it for long enough, Chuck Liddell, Quinton Rampage Jackson, Randy Couture. I mean, who are some of the other legends? You know what I mean? It's crazy. George St. Pierre, you know, Matt Hughes.
Anderson Silva.
Silva. Matt Serra, BJ Penn, you know what I mean? All these fighters that built the sport are no longer a part of it. They are cherished. They are still remembered. They're still shown in highlight reels, which is beautiful that the UFC does that. But I'm telling you, a lot of them are hanging up the new gloves, and there's new stars coming through. You know, I saw an article just recently, the top 10 new stars. It was by the UFC. Jack Della Maddalena was on there. He's 3-0 this year. 3 first-round finishes. Sergey Pavlovich. Who else is there? There's lots of big, big names coming through, man. I mean, Drew Dober.
3-0 with 3 KOs this year. Just entered the top 15 at lightweight.
Jailton Almeida, he came on the Contender Series. He's had one fight in the UFC. That was a first-round stoppage. So, yes, you know, the stars of yesteryear cannot continue. But there's always new stars coming through. Like, remember, Chuck Liddell was the man. And then he retired. And then it was George St. Pierre. Or it was Matt Hughes. Then it was George St. Pierre. Then along came Ronda Rousey. You know, and then it was Conor McGregor. You know, there's always someone next. You know what I mean? Now there's Paddy the Baddy, there's Sean O'Malley, there's always big stars. So, yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to say a farewell and a bon voyage and thank you very much for all the memories to all the fighters that did retire this year. But shall we move on? What else do we have? We won't go on for too much longer. It is Christmas. So we just want to say a big, big, big Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. I should say that's the technical term, isn't it, these days? And I do say that. I do try.
Playing that game. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah, Merry fucking Christmas. But if you're Muslim or whatever, fucking happy holidays or whatever it is you do. All right. If you worship a fucking tree and that's your God, God bless you. You know what I mean? Have a branch on me. But is there any big stories that we need to get to before we go? And I shouldn't ask you, but
We're just saying goodbye to National Cookie Day, which was 2 weeks ago. But sure, we'll breeze past that one.
No one told me. I love a good cookie.
So you did tease it earlier. We said we were going to talk about it. Possibly the biggest party in the history of sports.
Ooh.
4 million people showing up to the Argentina capital of Buenos Aires to celebrate Lionel Messi finally bringing it home to Argentina.
Look at the scenes here. Christmas.
How cool is that?
Yeah. There was another shot. I mean, that's incredible, by the way. I'm talking shit, but there was another one really, really high up. I must have been taken from a plane or something. And it showed them all. And then they were like, oh, the freeway ram-packed. It was absolutely insane. I mean, that's amazing. You know, talk about coming out for your own people. 4 million people. But I tell you what, that gives me anxiety, seeing that many people. I mean, just, I think it was last week, there was a terrible incident in London where there was an artist, I'd never heard of him, some hip-hop artist, performing in London, and people showed up trying to get in without tickets, and there was a massive stampede, and I think a couple of people lost their lives, sadly. So, like, 4 million people like that, fucking hell, they're lucky. I mean, look at that.
Look at that.
Holy shit. I mean, it's just insane.
Well, I think we covered it on the show not so long ago, like that thing in South Korea, right?
Yeah.
Where it's just like the streets weren't built to hold 4 million people at once, right? Like, no city planner is figuring on, you know, building alleyways and boulevards long enough to accommodate 4 million people milling about. So for sure, like there is like a certain kind of crush or an anxiety of a crush when there's that many people.
Oh, of course, without doubt. And this is very Christmassy. This is very Christmassy. You know what I mean? Rebecca! Come here, darling. Come and spread a bit of Christmas cheer to Harrington. And tell me what you think of his outfit. Yeah. You there?
What do you think of my traditional Christmas garb?
She does take her time. She's sliding along the floor now, leaving us a trail of slush wherever she goes.
Oh.
Just come and say Merry Christmas to the believers. And first and foremost, Herringbone.
Herringbone.
What is he
Merry
wearing?
Merry Christmas, Rebecca.
Merry Christmas. I want to say you look Christmassy, but I don't know if you do. What's going on here? You look Irish.
Yeah, I got the cuffs. I got a hat with a bell on it or a little ball.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like it.
And a flag, because it turns out wearing a flag as a cape is the height of cool.
Oh, well, Michael, you're not remotely Christmassy. remotely Christmassy.
But it's kind of overplayed and it's kind of douchey because all everyone does, oh, it's Christmas, let's put on a Santa hat. Do you know what I mean?
It's bringing cheer, Michael. Look at the cheer that Harrington is bringing.
He's bringing a lot of cheer. Laughing at him constantly. I brought Alexander Volkanovski for an extended 45-minute in-depth one-on-one hard-hitting interview.
I wanted you to ask him about what he makes for dinner.
I did.
What does he make for dinner?
What did he say, Harrington?
Oh, come on, man. You're putting me on the spot.
It's a bloody barbecue, mate. Yeah, probably do some barbecue.
I need inspiration.
Yeah.
Harrington, can you give my wife some inspiration? And just in general. General inspiration in life. What would you give her?
Dinner ideas.
Let's see where he goes.
Dinner ideas. I was going to go simple culinary. Vegemite versus Marmite. But, I don't know. A Yorkshire pudding. Mike was just talking
for
about.
For dinner, just a straight up Yorkshire pudding. Okay.
I was explaining
to
Volk about how to make them.
I'm sure he knew.
He knew about them, but he wants a trifle. He said his missus's wife always brings round a trifle. Why don't you like trifles, babe?
I just don't like trifles. Why don't I make them?
No, but you mock me every time I say a trifle.
Because they're disgusting. That's
No,
because your mom used to make one every year. I'm not your mom. I don't like them. I
see
won't
what I mean? That's the truth. Because my mom used to make one.
Do I look like your mom? I don't like them. No one likes them. No. You don't even like him.
Listen to this.
You don't even like them.
Listen to this.
You don't like them.
Can't beat a good trifle. Listen, here's the thing.
He doesn't even like them. He likes the cream. That's it.
Well, just shut up a second. Here's the thing. Right,
what's the thing?
She thinks I'm some like weird mummy's boy.
Oh my god, no, I don't. Yeah, that couldn't be further from the truth.
But she hates it because my mum.
This is a Christmas episode. I don't think we should do this.
She doesn't
right
like
now.
It that like you know like because like you know. My mum used to make a trifle, so I like it that we get a trifle or an apple crumble or stuff like that. She doesn't like it. If my mum's involved, she's like,
That is so not true. Who do you believe? Me or him?
I mean, I can tell you, and after your introductory session is done, it's only $5.99 for 6 more sessions at Harrington's Christmas Counseling.
We might be taking you up on that offer.
Look at Harrington, with the hands like that. It looks like some weird, like
biblical.
Yeah, biblical. Figure, like you would come from the smoke. No, put the hands back like that. That
you
was
look
better.
Romanian. Or something.
Yes. I hear. Give your counsel. What do you need, boys? Rebecca, you're going to stick around for the Christmas questions. We're going to go to questions
Well,
Harrington does close.
This lighting is not doing me any favors. I don't know if I want to stick around.
Just go and get a chair. Go get a chair real quick.
You're just touching me on my breast.
It's Christmas. It's Christmas.
What do you want me to do?
Just go get a chair, come back, and you can sit down and do some questions.
Can you unplug?
If you're listening on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure you're subscribed to the show. Leave a 5-star rating, positive review. It helps us out on those audio platforms. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you subscribe to the channel and hit that notification bell to find out whenever a new episode drops. Also, if you want to catch over 400 episodes ad-free and uncensored, head to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get a 7-day free trial. Check out all the great shows on the network.
Righty ho ho.
Very nice. Very nice.
Brian.
Flawless.
Hello. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
I'm great. Merry Christmas. So we're going to, I'm just going to give you the best question that came in a pile of questions this week. And just know that this is the best question that came in.
Right. So believers, we're providing a lot of good guests lately. You don't have to go anywhere, Brian. We're providing top tier guests.
I've noticed that. A lot of great guests.
Sean O'Malley. Darren Till. I mean, who else have we had on recently? I mean, the list is endless. We're getting the
Henry
best.
Henry Cejudo, Yuri Prohaska.
Henry Cejudo, Yuri, bloody. We just had Jared Gordon on. We've had Paddy the Baddy. Guys, respect the show by respecting us with a respectful question, please, for the love of God. But Brian, roll the tape.
All right.
God, I can tell that this guy's trouble already.
Okay, challenge.
This is Doug, and Doug usually sends in the challenge questions. And this is... not quite that.
All right, guys, I've tried to get this question onto BYM in the past and it's failed. This doesn't bode well for this one, but I'm going to try again because I think it's a bit of fun. Right, imagine a situation. The world is going to be plunged into darkness, civilization wiped from the face of the earth. And then one day God's knocking about and he goes, well, you know what, for shits and giggles, if the BYM crew pick one of the following 3 challenges and complete it, I'll leave the lights on for another 100 years, right? You've got to pick one of the 3 options. Option 1, You've got to drink a pint of freshly retched dog vomit. A dog has hacked it up into a pint glass. You've got 1 minute to down it, and you've got to keep it down for 5 minutes. That's option one. Option number two, you've got to eat a bogey pie. That is a pucker pie-sized pie constructed entirely of bogeys, a crusty bogey outer shell, giving place to a moist snot filling, delicious. Option number three, you've got to ride a bull naked. That's a standard rodeo sort of setup. When you fall off, and inevitably you will do at some point, you've got to haul ass naked and jump over into the stands without getting split in half. So the fate of civilization rests in the hands of the BYM crew. Love to know which challenge you'd go for. Yeah, Merry Christmas.
All right. Well,
wow.
Well, thank you for the question. We appreciate that. It wasn't as bad.
The type of questions you normally get?
No, it's not. No, it's a little silly. It's gonna be a bit silly. But I will say this: I have no problem doing two of them. Right?
That's disturbing.
Zero problem.
Two.
And I'll get to them.
I think I know which one you'll do.
Just jump off, Brad, so we get a two shot. No offense, mate. So we can fit Rebecca in a bit more. The rodeo one, naked, right? And listen, if this is going to save the world, I'll expose myself to the world. I have no problem, you know. If it come down to it, it never mind saving the world. If it was just doing something far, far, far less serious, do you know what I mean? If I had to ride a bronco naked, I wouldn't have an issue, Harrington.
What about the element of danger?
I live dangerously, babe.
Okay, so you're telling me you're confident you get thrown off of a bull butt-ass naked. There's no rodeo clowns to distract it. That bull is now free to gore you from the moment your feet touch the ground. You think you can make it to the stands, no problem.
I have no doubt in the world, right?
Dude, he has robot legs.
Yeah, I have robot legs. Also, let's just get this out of here. Eating, what was it, a pie of boogers?
Like a bogey pie.
No. Just the thought of that is making me sick. But drinking the dog vomit, I could do that, no problem.
Okay, you've got serious issues. Because I was going to say the one thing I could do was maybe a bogey pie.
No, the bogey pie is disgusting. Like, for example, when I was in Bulgaria, right? there was one night and everyone was having a laugh and I...
Are you sure you want to...
Yeah, it's okay. It's nothing bad. And I forget what happened. And anyway... I went.
A dog puked in your mouth.
I was laughing. I went, and I barfed in my own mouth, right? And no one could tell. And then I went again, and I was literally going, and it was going to explode over everyone.
How much had you had to drink?
Not a lot. Fair bit. You know, I'd had a bit, but I was going to. Then it was just going to projectile vomit over everyone. I was like, I can't do this. So I was. And then I slowly but surely just went, and I had to swallow it, right? And granted, that's my own puke and not a dog, right? But it wasn't that bad. And in fact, again, to save Harrington's lives, to save all the believers, I'll drink a pint of Alfie's spew. Would you still kiss me?
No.
Sorry.
I've changed my mind, actually. I think I'd do the bull.
You do the bull. I bet you bloody would. I bet you would, you saucy devil.
Harrington, what about you?
Yeah, I'm taking the bull as well, but like not for the same reason you guys are, right? Like it just sounds awesome. That's a great way to die, but you're gonna be made fun of by everyone online forever. And like my girl is never gonna forgive me, my unborn child is never gonna forgive me. But if we're outside of the realm of time and space and only you guys are seeing me fail and get murdered by this bull, that sounds pretty cool, honestly.
Yeah, it does.
Harrington, do you think that you haven't done the thing already that is going to make your kid embarrassed of you?
Oh, that's funny.
All right.
Well, at that point, Brian, come back on, show yourself. It's Christmas. Just lean into the middle there, babe, so you can be seen. We're going to wrap this one up now. We're going to wrap it up and we're going to say thank you to all you believers. It's not the end of the year, but we hope that you all have an amazing Christmas with your loved ones, with your family. If you're away from them, we wish you all the best. Harrington and Brian, every year you guys do an amazing job. We love doing this show. Harrington, we jog, we bust your balls, but we love you. The believers love you. Brian, you don't get the abuse, but you do get the love. You guys do a phenomenal job. This show has grown so much. I was saying in bed the other night, weren't I, babe? Mm-hmm. We were watching it the other night, you know, because you got to watch it for a bit of feedback on myself. Do you know what I mean? And I was saying,
I read the comments.
And she loves it. You do a great job with the editing. It's a very smoothly produced show. Now, it's definitely upped since we first started. Everything's gone up. You know, the quality of guests, everything, but the production value is very, very good, Brad. So you're killing it there. Harrington, you kill it as well. So I just want to show our appreciation there. And the believers, as we say all the time, Anthony Smith, of course, coming on this year has been fantastic for the show as well. And he should be on every episode. That was the is in Houston, babe. And he wasn't on Mondays either. I wasn't well Monday. I could hardly string a sentence together, but I'm back with a bang. I feel good. My chest is clean. I'm not wheezing, right, babe?
Yes.
I've been very sick, haven't I?
So sick.
But I still do the fucking show, Anthony Smith. You know what?
He's spending time with family.
He called in from Houston. He's on the couch.
Is he visiting family?
He's visiting family. I do it while doing a movie in Bulgaria. I do it well all over the place. Still fucking doing it, Anthony. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is that this show would be nothing without all you guys, the believers, on behalf of the entire show. We thank you. Have a wonderful Christmas. Have fun. Drink, eat, be merry. And we will be back with another show on Monday. Guys, do you have anything to say?
Merry Christmas. Honor and privilege doing it with you as always, Mike.
You're not doing it with me.
I did it. I had you.
Brian, it's okay. Just come here and say Merry Christmas to everyone, Lucas. Come, get in here. Come in. Just speak into that. Say Merry Christmas, guys.
Hello.
Hey, oh, man. Listen to that voice drop.
Merry Christmas.
Doesn't he look just like me?
Yeah, he's getting there.
Oh, yeah.
He hates that, by the way. He hates to be called.
Lucas, what is Santa bringing you? Come close. Come close.
Things.
He wanted an 8-inch hunting knife.
Hell yeah! You get him a K-bar or what?
Yeah, those are cool.
Absolutely.
Hell yeah!
What's a K-bar?
A what?
What did you say?
It's a hunting knife. Right, it's a hunting knife, friend.
A what?
A hunting
K-bar.
Oh, he's got no headphones in. Yeah, he's got no headphones.
A K-bar.
Right, get out of here. Come on. Otherwise, Santa's not coming. That's the show, guys. That's the show. Rebecca, Christmas message for the believers.
Merry Christmas, believers. Eat, drink, be merry. Have a wonderful time.
That's the show.
That's the show, guys.